Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the wayward travelers. Good morning to the highwaymen. Good morning to the gypsies riding on the trail, trying to find your mail. It is April the 28th, 2026. It's just around 8:40 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from the Dread Cave, not far from the ancient sea, not far from the burial grounds of centuries where pain and suffering has been piled a mile high, not far from the guilt or the guilt tripping, not far from the virtue or the signaling, not far from your commie dystopia. Just check down the street. It's real neat. According to Papa Blumpity Blump, very, very soon the government of Iran is going to run out of tanker space, and this will be terrible, terrible, a great disgrace. The oil will stop, or the oil will collapse, or Iran is destroyed again. Last week, Donald Trump destroyed Iran. The week before, Donald Trump destroyed Iran. This week, we're gonna, you know, completely destroy Iran. I don't know why. You're gonna have to ask that fancy guy. The one in the tuxedo. The one that looks neato. The one walking out of the Rand Corporation. Ask that motherfucker. Or the Brookings Institution guy, either one will give you a handy. The first story comes from Torquay today. That's Torquay or Torquia or Turkey, as if I fucking care. The headline is Iran stashing unsold oil in derelict tanks as U.S. blockade cuts exports. This was published today by the newsroom. Iran is reviving derelict junk storage tanks using improvised containers and attempting to ship crude by rail to China as the U.S. naval blockade has cut Iranian oil exports from 2.1 million barrels a day to just 567,000 barrels a day since April the 13th. Analysts warn that Iran could hit tank tops. Tank tops, summertime tank tops. Complete with storage capacity in less than 2 weeks, that's double D or triple C, if you know what I mean. As commodity analytics firm Kepler estimates production could fall by more than half to between 1.2 and 1.3 million barrels of bullshit a day. Yeah, you guys can read more of this if you want to. I am not an expert in oil production, and so I don't really want to weigh in on whether stopping production means you've lost all your oil. If that were remotely true, The quote-unquote fracking miracle would have never happened. And why? Because the fracking miracle, to some extent, is about oil that 100 years ago, the oil experts said you can't get at. There's no pressure down there. The oil's in the rock. You can't get to it. And yet, magically, supernaturally, under the Prince King Obama, the oil patch revitalized, didn't it? Didn't it? Under Obama. Let's underline that point. For all the greenies and shitheads out there that think voting works, your king hero, Obama, built more natural gas plants and supported more fracking than any other president in recent history, to include putting the American taxpayer on the hook in December of 2014 by teaming up with the GOP to take all derivatives products and extremely dangerous loans that are given to the fracking companies and making it the responsibility of the American taxpayer. That's your green guy, Obama. So if any gaslighter prick wants to send me an email about how it would have been better under Kamala or Biden or whoever he was, you know, it's the same shit, dumbass. Same fucking shit. There may be a solution to your problem, but voting is not it. Anywho, if you believe this nonsense, that's up to you. I think it is nonsense. I don't think the Iranians are in any trouble of running out of storage. I do think that ultimately a lot of these oil patch locations are going to shut down, but not because of the fucking war. And I think a lot of people will figure that out real soon. This next article comes from Reuters. It was published a few days ago, April the 24th, and is written by Sam Tabrahidi. Headline, What to Know About the Falkland Islands as U.S. Considers Reassessing Position. The United States could seek to punish Britain for its lack of support on the Iran war by reviewing its position on London's claim to the Falkland Islands, an internal Pentagon email described, we've got the quote-unquote libertarian faker, in reality Zionist freak, Malay in Argentina. And how many of you shithead quote-unquote libertarians were emailing me a couple, oh God, look at the Malay guy, he's a fucking jackass, he's a joke. He's going to take the libertarian philosophy down the hole with him, and once again, Argentina will enter malaise economically. Why? Because they do that every 10 years, you stupid fuck. But, you know, giving the Falklands to Malay, that would be something, wouldn't it? We'll talk about this a bit later. Oh, but Dan, I can't believe you. Okay, so right now, there's a story that early on in this latest Iranian conflict, Iranian F-5s that are based upon a Northrop design from the 50s were able to attack U.S. air bases or U.S. bases or whatever. And again, I can't really verify a story like this because I'm not there. And I don't remotely trust any of the sources of information, to include all your favorite edgelords on YouTube. Or Rumble, or send me a link, fucker. And if it sounds like I'm talking to you, I probably am, you stupid fuck. Let me tell you my story. I was commissioned. I'm gonna drink a little coffee here first. I was commissioned as a United States Army officer in 1996. After going to work at advance camp at Fort Lewis, I went to Fort Bliss for OBC, that's Officer Basic Course, specifically for short-range air defense. And at the time, that was Stinger missiles primarily. Stingers, primarily. Not only, they had a really dumb weapon system called the Avenger. I was an Avenger platoon leader in Korea. What is the Avenger? Well, let's just go down the list really quickly for those fucks who've already heard me a billion times. It's a weapon system that's mounted on a Humvee. Now, the Humvee was never designed for Asia. My first posting, and frankly, my only overseas post, was South Korea, Camp Stanley, 1997-1998. And I'll tell you straight up, the Humvee was never designed for Asia. It wasn't. It might have been designed for the great rolling battles of North Africa against Rommel, and it might have been designed for the Fold the Gap, but it was never designed for Asia at all. You add to it a top-heavy turret system that takes up way too much space, and what you have is a giant boondoggle. Now, of course, some people say, well, Dan, it has a FLIR. It did have a FLIR, but you don't really need a boondoggle to have forward-looking infrared. You can just... Actually, that's man-portable. So it did have a FLIR. It had a crappy-ass 50 cal machine gun, which was meant to be a joke against any type of helicopter heading at us. It was a crappy weapon system. And at the time, maneuver commanders... By the way, Daniel Davis, one of the YouTube people, one of the alt kings that, by the way, one of my stalker motherfuckers who I've uncovered used to push on me along with James Coward Kunstler. Kunstler. That's spelled with a C. Daniel Davis was a maneuver commander. Do you know what maneuver commanders were telling me 30 years ago, shitheads? That short-range air defense doesn't matter. Even high to medium altitude doesn't really matter. We achieve air dominance and air superiority the moment we crack a fart in whatever theater we're in. I'm going to repeat that. They were telling junior officers, who now would be battalion commanders, junior officers, that short-range air defense was irrelevant. They did that for decades. During the global war on terror, they kept repeating that. It doesn't matter. We don't need it. It's irrelevant. We control everything. Now, at the time, in the 1990s, I thought that sounded like nonsense. And when I spoke to other folks about it, it was like, shut up. Keep your mouth shut. Go along. Get along. Guys, there's a pattern here. It's called rot. And if you think the rot is new, it's not. The rot's been there since I was born. It's a moldy, stinky rot, and it's in every institution, probably especially the United States military. But here's the thing. If someone comes up to you and says, how did we get caught off guard? We didn't, shithead. You did. You're the voter. You're the one that keeps believing these people know what the fuck they're doing. For 30 fucking years at least, probably longer, the United States Army did not believe it needed short-range air defense. At all. What do you think happens to that combat arm when you have that belief? Well, it pretty much becomes a vestigial thing, right? A leg that doesn't fall off yet, so it becomes a little thin. But ultimately, it serves no purpose. And doctrinal training, keeping up with advancements, all the things you would expect from a military that wants to be able to do more than just, you know, beat up on poor people. Well, those things came to a stop. The reason why we're still using the Stinger missile today the way we use it is because that's been the doctrine since before the end of the Cold War. The belief system is we're only ever going to fight countries armed with late-stage Soviet dreck. That was wrong, but that's what we were told. So for you guys out there who think, well, once again, you know, who did something wrong? We all did something wrong. You believed these people knew what the fuck they were doing. I started telling you shitheads almost 30 fucking years ago that they didn't, and nobody cares. And now you go online and you listen to these edgelords. Here's a pop quiz. In all the fucking Iran edgelords talking about drones and missiles and whatnot, how many 14 Sierras have you seen? I don't mean on the paid-for Fox channel, because we all know that shit's owned. I mean in your little alt kingdom. How many 14 Sierras has Daniel Davis had on his fucking show? Well, so far, the answer looks like zero. And why? Because he might have to admit to something. That while he was a maneuver commander, he didn't give a fuck about short-range air defense. Why? Because we're killing poor brown people. He leaves the silent part out, and they don't know how to use advanced technology, and all they can get are AK-47s. And if I sound pissed off, I'm a little bit pissed off, because ultimately there were people that raised voices years ago saying that this was flawed, that just because we keep fighting countries that don't have high tech doesn't mean that will be the pattern. But the belief system under Clinton, under Bush, under Obama, under Trump 1, 2, Biden, whichever one existed, it's always been the same. We do not need short-range air defense. Well, we do, actually. And it's weird. It's weird. It's kind of like the Falkland story. A lot of these things are weird until you see it at a different level. Next topic. So if you go to look for my books on Amazon, you'll notice that there's an author that shows up. His name's Danny. He has a big smile and he's drinking a beer. Yeah, these are books I wrote, Jeff Bezos. You can suck my fucking cock, you piece of shit. They may not be good books. They may be the shittiest works of art ever, but they're mine, you motherfucker. Danny was born in Hampshire, England. Not into the royal family, which probably accounts for his sardonic take on life. As a member of the peasant classes, he spent his confused early days living in the gutter with his old nasty mutter. Before graduating via discarded bird's nests into a trash barrel, he delighted in being the class clown at school, which made actual learning quite difficult. He has worked variously as a trash collector, university dean, undercover MI6 agent, and professional naked mud wrestler. But ending up, you guys can read the rest of this shit. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The thing that is shocking to people that know me, that understand me, and really, those people are not shocked. I guess the people I meet that are new. It doesn't fucking matter, folks. This is 2019 bullshit. Nobody should care about this to include me. Next fucking topic. Here's an article from Economic Times, India Times, headline, "Did Iran just destroy a U.S.-Israel weather weapon, ending its drought? Viral conspiracy explained." Yeah. Several pro-Iranian accounts on X have claimed that Iran's weather has changed drastically after the country allegedly destroyed a secret cloud seeding and weather modification center in the UAE. Iran's devastating drought is over. Floods have returned so strongly. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know why this story is coming out. I kind of think that there are multiple levels in which they're manipulating us right now. Do I believe the United States is involved in geoengineering? Hell yeah. Probably since World War II. And Dane Wigington is your best source on this. I don't like all of his takes. I think his takes on the COVID were dead-ass wrong. He keeps quoting Zbigniew Brzezinski, but I don't know why he quotes that shithead. He was kind of a disinfo agent. But yeah, other than his Zbigniew obsession and his issues around the bioweapons labs that don't add up to anybody's doctrine, and frankly, his fear-mongering around bioweapons, which is kind of shitty, when it comes to geoengineering, I think that Dane is dead on. He's 100% correct. Does that mean he's not a Fed? No, I think he's a sheepdog. I think he's a sheepdog. I think his story does not add up. The thing about a sheepdog is they're supposed to keep you from completely losing it. Okay, they're the ones who are supposed to keep you inside the fence. They're the ones who are supposed to tell you that, A, on the one hand, the world is almost over. But on the other hand, we're going to sue somebody. We're going to make some t-shirts. We're going to make some posters. We're going to make some shitty-ass, janky-ass handouts, but also, you know, it's all over. He'll give you a lot of dreck, a lot of this Marcus Aurelius, my favorite emperor, Stoic dreck. He quotes this other nonsense agent, Eckhart Tolle, or whoever he is. I don't give a fuck, folks. Are they geoengineering? Absolutely. Are you going to stop it? No. None of us are going to stop it. It will continue until the system collapses. Now that's the question mark. When does the system collapse? And I really can't tell you. I expected it to really just start falling apart 2 years ago. The fact that we're this far down the road and it's still kind of cooking along is sort of amazing to me. Who knows? Maybe it keeps going on forever, right? Is it possible that the United States has been creating an artificial drought in Iran since the 1980s? And the answer is yes, it's possible. Just as much as we created artificial flash floods in Vietnam under, Operation Popeye. we can do this. We, you know, this whole atmospheric river thing, people say, oh, damn, they can't do an atmospheric river. They sure as shit can. They did it on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, dumbass. So they can totally do it. They've been doing it for decades. They treated Appalachia a couple years ago like the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Think. Geoengineering does not fix the environment. Arguably, as Dane says, it makes it worse. And in my humble opinion, it is in a lot of ways like a fentanyl patch at this point. It's going to keep you comfortable. Like today, they sprayed Gumbus and they've got the precipitate falling and it's delightfully schmungus gray and layered out across the schmungus sky. And there are kids who grow up thinking this is fucking normal, but it's not. It's not going to stop people. You're not going to vote for it to stop. You're not going to have a lawsuit for it to stop. No matter how many fucking t-shirts you wear or handouts you hand out. And this is the thing. In some ways, Dane Wigington's existence ensures it will continue because he is perfectly handcrafted. He has the last name that's perfect, Wigington. Wigington. If you wanted a sheepdog slash, you know, slash clown or comedian, if you wanted somebody to make it look like a joke, you've got it. You've got the jokester, you've got the sheepdog. He's one and all. He's got it all. He's got it all, that Dane. You can contact me about free gold. I have an email address. You can email me. You can go into the notes. It's on my blog. You can contact me about free gold if you want to. Seriously, email me and you can see this. Tell me where you're from if you can read these words. There's a magical single-digit following out there, my best friends that can hear me on YouTube but are unable to email or pick up the phone or know how to use MP3s. So please, freak unit, prove your sideways bullshit. Go ahead and email me. You can tell me any kind of side-slag bullshit. I really don't give a fuck at this point if you can't tell. Your harvest world is filled with wheat pus. And the foregone forces are ranging near your home. Your world is ice cream sundae on a hot Saturday night. And it's over. It's over. It's all over. You can call Mandy Clover and give her your word that the turd baby in the sink is on the brink and nothing will protect you from the abyss. Why don't you email me about that, fucker? I was told by 15 gaslighters since the year 2011 that your voice can be heard. But they left out the loud part. You need to push Bitcoin. You need to push bitches. You need to push boobs and Obama, Trump, Putin. You gotta push the COVID. COVID, COVID, COVID. BLN, Antifa, sideways, wonderfuck. If you refuse to spread the standard refuse, if you refuse to spread the standard and acceptable fears, you'll be left in the wasteland. They left that part out, the fuckers. Junk artists that live in Canada, trading Bitcoin and clever quips on sobriety and extreme skiing and pictures of places not in Canada currently, showing snow that is not there, skies blue and clear that don't exist, no fires or permafrost collapse, no drunken forests, just totally real Canadian hardcore sober style edgelord living. What a courageous jacko. Gingerbeards gather near my home, roaming the dread alleys and forming up to steal candle wax from the priests of doom, getting paychecks from Uncle Sam, while pushing crypto death schemes. These helpful Vegas-style floor managers will redirect you back into the casino, where hooker sandwiches await and your fate is sealed by the last buffet meal of crab sausage tacos and the old dead protein from Lake Mead, dude. Send me a fucking email. Do it, shithead. Prove you are there. Prove that you care. You're a Care Bear. Prove you're there, Care Bear. Vegas-style cops and vitamin D-deficient bicentennial men await along Jasper Avenue, and the Denny's is open. But the cop doesn't know where the Denny's is. Oh, that's weird. You can send me an email, too, about that shithead. Ask me if I give a fuck. Get the fuck out of Vegas if you have any fucking common sense, folks. Now is the time. The days that lead up to when you think it's now is too fucking late. The sky is painted, mostly sunny. The snow disappears in sublimation and Raytheon surprise. It's white, but not pure. And its allure is a symptom of glowing rectangles and other surprises awaiting those who should be prepared to die. The big game is rotten and competing with its own failure in a race to the bottom of the sewer. Email me about this, butthole. The last time the slave class rose up. The last time the slave class rose up. The last time the slave class rose up, the books were burned. No memory, just hazy dreams of healthy food and pure water. Air you can breathe and stew that doesn't jettison blood curdles from your ass crack. That was great back then. Those were great fucking days. Now contact me about this shit, asshole. Email me now, you fog. This request was published at midnight on the 26th of April, 2026, with annotations and footnotes correlating to the 8 energetic zones of your body's GERD detector apparatus. This new kind of Ethereum contract is openly traded for Merg flesh and old bags of UN food program Malay. Tender cutlets of cave bacon will be shipped to the West as preparation for the beast's arrival. You can write me an email too. Just make sure your stool is not bloody. Random baffle wagons. From the Poconos, reading James Coward Kunstler and other Zionist hustler rants. It's a long emergency. It's a real long emergency. Until it's not, Jim. Until it's not. And you are remembered as the butt monkey hero of 2020 with viruses crawling up ass pipes and arrows on the grocery store floor, and horse dewormer in your semen tray. You can totally email me about this shithead. I'll take a poop when I read that shitty James Coward Kunstler email. Your tried and true bagel paradise is falling apart, but I don't know you and you don't know me. You're not reading this. You're not hearing or seeing this. Your voice is silent and your world is barren. The blind women take turns beating dogs and cats while furnace captains stoke the fires for the last yearning. Please email me now. Free gold. Free hookers. Free everybody. No fee required. No fees, people, no fees. So I came across a documentary about Atlantis called The Atlantis Puzzle. It was put out in 2024. You can take a look if you want to. It kind of seems like it might be a limited hangout, but that's up to you to determine. I don't want to talk about it. If you ask me, Atlantis is not in the Atlantic. It's not in Africa like the person from this documentary believes. To me, the only logical place for Atlantis, literally the only place on Earth where it would make sense, is Antarctica. And if you think, well, Dan, that doesn't make any sense because it's at the South Pole. Well, folks, you know, the South Pole hasn't always been the South Pole. It has shifted over time. And so it's plausible that at some point Antarctica was a little bit further north, so to speak. There's all kinds of things that happen over time, and sometimes they happen catastrophically. A lot of you folks believe in the mud flood. Well, guess what? Antarctica shifting by 3 or 4 or 5,000 miles would very much be an event that would also trigger a lot of water from the ocean slopping about. Hence your fucking mud flood. And if you're, well, Dan, what about permafrost collapse? Well, that happens too. If the pole is shifting, it could in fact trigger permafrost collapse. In fact, it would. And that would be bad by itself. Short term and probably long term, it's hard to say. We're not going to find out until it's too late. Next topic. Dan, can't we vote? You can vote as hard as you want to. So Daniel Davis, I think, is a reasonably good source in some ways on the Iran war, but he said something the other day that this situation in Iran could be worse than the COVID. And I love that he said that, because when he talks about the COVID, he gives it a level of reality that you'd expect any fucking edgelord to give it. Like, oh my God, it was the most terrible pandemic ever. He should have been in Seattle and Chinatown. Then he wouldn't have had to be afraid of anything except for the fucking psyops. But yeah. Daniel Davis. I've never heard him talk much at all about short-range air defense. At all. He's a maneuver commander. He's United States Army. And all of the time I've heard him bloviate, and it's funny because my good friend, ex-friend, whatever, stalker, talker, James Howard Kunstler fan, he recommended this guy. If I had known how little he thinks about air defense, well, gee, fuck. I wonder how those drones showed up. Hey, Daniel? Fucking dumbass. Anywho, he's a limited hangout. He might be useful on some subjects, but if you are listening to him to find out what's going to happen next, here's the deal. There are two functions, G of X and F of X. I have had G of X defined for 10 years. People are catching up with it. That's F of X. F of X is approaching G of X. That is happening right now. That's why people are talking about things like global depression, because these are lesser catastrophes. But they're larger than the lesser catastrophes of 5 or 6 years ago, aren't they? Oh, there could be a big global recession. That was the COVID fear, and yeah, maybe it kind of happened, although I don't know what a recession is in a global depression, because from my perspective, we've been in a global depression for at least, well, since 2009. Yes, it's papered over, papered the shit over. They papered it over deep. And if you're wondering about what happens next, well, it's not going to be what you expect. You're not going to have months of wheelbarrows and paper. your wheelbarrows of paper are in your fucking home. And when it comes down to it, and the food hasn't been delivered for 2 weeks, and the water's been off, and there's no electricity, and there's more hungry people that surround your home than people that are, you know, fed, you're going to find out the true value of your fucking home, which is, you know, zero. Good luck with that, though. Yeah, you can sell right about then, Vegas cop. Right about then. Put out your for sale sign when the barbarians are tearing your home to pieces and you're hiding in the basement. That's when you... Oh, that's when I'll sell, Dan. Ooh. Okay, puddle flower. Yeah, I'm a little bit ticked at this Daniel Davis guy because he takes on the cred. Again, he probably is a vet. Great. He's a vet. He's probably who he says he is. But he's one of these typical maneuver commanders who, when I was a lieutenant, would just mock air defense. Well, there's the air defense liaison officer. Oh, so funny. It's not so funny now, though, is it, shithead? And that's why people like this don't bring it up, because if they bring it up, then they have to admit to the part they played. Man, would I have loved to have been a fly on the wall with his S3 at any given time when they were planning an op and wonder, oh, what's air defense have to say? Oh, we can skip air defense. Or he's got two words or whatever. Snowman. Fuck you. All the edgelords can go fuck themselves. Next topic. So I said I would bring up the Falklands again. For the same reason, Greenland is an interesting target, too. I have talked about, I've discussed New Zealand and different parts of Australia in the context of something called Hothouse Earth, and we'll get to that a little bit next. But in fact, we'll postpone the Falklands conversation, the Greenland conversation, and the New Zealand conversation till the next topic, I think. Or not, actually, because I think we covered that one already. Okay, so here's the deal. Parts of the world, if we are heading towards Hothouse Earth, and we're really almost there, it's not that we're years away, we're probably months away from it getting bad enough, despite all the geoengineering. If we're heading towards Hothouse Earth, then certain parts of the planet are going to become unlivable soon. And a lot of these places are already downright miserable. Big chunks of India are miserable. Parts of Africa are miserable, and the misery will get worse, especially as the geoengineering fails. Because a lot of the geoengineering only works up to a point, and then it just kind of becomes a toxic storm. And maybe people are that deluded by their glowing rectangles. I can't tell you. I mean, me, I feel crazy, so maybe everyone's equally crazy in their own special fucking way. But what if you knew you had to evacuate people from the Gulf, and you knew that it would have to happen? It sounds crazy, and I would include India too. It sounds crazy, but if the Iranian situation slipped into a regional nuclear conflict, then a lot of these areas would become unlivable, and then it would be, well, we got to take in the refugees. We don't have a choice. And because of the fallout, and maybe Pakistan gets triggered, oh, we got to take in India too. A lot of these things are cover-ups, so I'm not saying this is what they're going to do, but yeah, it does open up the door if you have to move millions of people out of the equatorial regions. Having some type of limited nuclear war is a great way to do it, or at least convince people that's the fucking reason. But I don't know. So the Japanese came up with a new word called kokushobi, which translates to cruelly hot, brutally hot, severely hot. And I don't know if it's a new word, but it's a new word that the Japan Meteorological Agency is adopting for temperatures that are above basically 85, 90 degrees Fahrenheit or up to 100 degrees Fahrenheit. This article comes from Euronews. Headline, Japan announces new name for days over 40 degrees Celsius. Just so we can just look this up real quick, that is roughly, oh my God, they bury all this shit now. That's 104 degrees Fahrenheit, 40 degrees Celsius. This is written by Ruth Wright and published on the 20th of April. Kokushobi will be used in weather forecasts to warn that extreme heat is on its way. Japan now has a special name for days that are 40 degrees Celsius, that's 104 degrees or hotter. Kokushobi translates as cruelly hot, brutally hot, or severely hot. The name won a vote with Komushobi, meaning super extremely hot day, coming in second place. It is the first time the Japan Meteorological Agency has been forced to introduce a new term for weather forecasts since 2007, when Moshobi, extremely hot, was introduced for days over 35 degrees C. Again, they're doing a lot of this on purpose right now with Americans where they switch between Celsius and Fahrenheit. It's kind of funny in a sad, sad, sad fucking way. Man, this is so stupid. I am, at this point, calling bullshit on it all, really. Yeah, that's 95 degrees Fahrenheit. There's a reason why they don't show the Fahrenheit and the Celsius at the same time. When I was a kid, they did, oh, Dan, it's for cultural. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not for cultural reasons. Go suck your own cock. It's the same reason they've been changing the names of all these towns in Alaska. Barrow, Alaska used to be Barrow. Try to find it as Barrow. Well, you still kind of can. But now it's called Ukabuka Buka Buka. And again, I'm not beating up on the fucking indigenous people. But if they think this was changed out of their respect, they're deeply fucking confused. Ask your friends in the Northern Territories of Canada, the ones that aren't coughing up smoke. Anywho. 90-some degrees. Japan's hottest summer ever. 2025 was Japan's hottest summer ever. Guess what? Other than where they were dropping a lot of chemical weapons and chemical nucleating bullshit, everywhere last year was the hottest summer ever, and it's not linear to the previous year. Yeah, a lot of this is bullshit. Koku Shobi joins a list of names for hot days, and Moku Shobi and Komastobi. I don't give a fuck. They are trying to confuse you about the nature of the world right now. They are trying to confuse you about what's important. They're giving you lesser catastrophes. Frankly, the Iran war, just like the COVID, just like the Ukraine war, is a lesser catastrophe. It's not nearly as bad as a rapid transition to hothouse Earth. And that looks like your best case scenario now. That doesn't mean the dollar doesn't collapse, dumbass. It's just like... Well, in the world of logic, there's a concept of, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's already subsumed. It's subsumption, which is to say that if in fact we're rapidly heading towards hothouse Earth, then things like fiat collapsing is baked into the cake, literally, figuratively. It's over. Civilization as you know it is over. Can humans live in hothouse Earth? Sure they can. But one of the things you might see happen is a grand bum rush to prime locations. I may have mentioned this already, but I think that if we're heading towards hothouse Earth, China is going to make a move on New Zealand. Why would they want to take Australia? A big chunk of it's already too fucking hot and dry. But maybe the tip of southern Australia and New Zealand and Tasmania, you're not going to fit all the Chinese there, but you'll fit up maybe 10 or 20 million the way the Chinese build. Maybe. And if you're asking, would they push 10 or 20 million Chinese? Well, the ones that are lucky, the special ones, the favorite ones. These aren't the Antarctica ones. I'm fairly certain there's a condo for just about every world leader and leadership class in the world in Antarctica. But New Zealand is a pretty good spot for hothouse Earth. Just to be blunt. No place near the Arctic Circle is that great for the next 20 to 30 years. We covered that the other day. Probably for the next 20 to 30 years, it's going to be a kind of a nasty, smelly, swampy, disease-ridden miasma because, you know, between 10,000 and a million years worth of frozen shit and dead bodies and farts are basically thawing out. So yeah, I would not want to live around the Arctic Circle for the next few decades. Greenland might be kind of okay because of the shit ton of ice that's there. That will take a while to melt completely, and as it's melting, it'll be a source of cold water. Which means if you're going to build little portable nuclear reactors, Greenland might be a great place to build them as long as you don't build on the ice. As long as you build in a way that, you know, where you can move the reactor, which means definitely portable reactor. But yeah, Greenland could be an ideal location as a safe zone. Not for the super rich. They're mostly already gone in the scenario. Most of them faked their deaths years ago and disappeared into the woodwork down to their condo complex in Antarctica. And I don't care how fucking crazy you think I sound. It's going to get so god-awful so soon that, you know, you'll go from crazy to rage, or rather thinking I'm crazy to being pissed off. And then you're going to look for people to blame who didn't say anything. Don't come to my door. Don't come to my door. Don't knock on my door. You can avoid sending me a fucking email. If you come to my door and say, Dan, why didn't you say something? It's too fucking late, man. Either I am going to the insane asylum within the next 18 months, or the world you think is functional is about to flip over. If you're a Christian, you're perfectly able, willing, and acceptable, and whatever. You can put this into eschatology if you want to. But also, this could just be a horrific event and have nothing to do with Christ. And that means it's probably not the end of the human race. But in a hothouse Earth transition scenario, billions of people are going to die. Like billions. It's going to happen. It's guaranteed. If everybody starts evacuating the equatorial zones today, that still doesn't solve the food problem. And you're still left with a giant question mark. Would countries allow this? Or would they just start using nukes? I guess we're going to find out. But whatever. Koku shobi, moku shobi. So the Falklands is also interesting. I think, and this is where it's kind of a little bit crazy, I don't think the Iran thing is any more real than the Ukraine thing, which means it looks synthetic, it looks kind of fake, it looks managed, and it means, yeah, there could be people dying, but the real purpose is not what we're being told. But let's put the Iran thing into the same box for now. It's got a little dial attached to it like the COVID. Like Daniel Davis said, you know, it's going to be lockdowns like the COVID. It has a little dial attached to it. You can turn it up or you can turn it down. Turn it up or turn it down, just like the motherfucking COVID. I think the Falklands thing could be a legit pressure point, not because of the Iran war, but because right now governments are doing whatever they can to sort of keep people confused. I think the Falklands thing, if you think about the war, don't think about the threat. The threat's bullshit. We're seeing the threat from Trump for the same reason we see all this bullshit. It keeps people confused and angry and upset. But go back to 1982. Go back to the Falklands War. What if it wasn't about what we thought it was about? I mean, at the time, we were probably, oh, it's about, you know, the old empire of England and about oil or resources or this or that. But what if the Falklands War was about the fact that as long ago, and this is my opinion, I believe this, as long ago as 40 or 50 years ago, every major government of the world knew that we were reaching the sell-by date. And that the sell-by date would happen sometime in the early 21st century. And I'm not talking about global warming, global cooling, or whatever flavor of the week bullshit you get from the edgelords on YouTube. These types of things happen. Sometimes they're triggered by volcanic events. Sometimes they could be triggered by a pole shift. But the simple reality is, for the last 10,000 years, the behavior of the Arctic and the Antarctic has served as an air conditioner. And ultimately also as a freezer. The only kind of carbon sequestration that's ever fucking worked. And that is rivers flowing north, dropping their poop into the frozen waters. That is the only type of carbon sequestration that's ever functioned. But even that has a breaking point. Changes in the environment, minor changes, can achieve a tipping point. And when it comes to these materials, the tipping point is an issue of danger because these materials that you can freeze can also become quite dangerous when they become unfrozen. And it's not just CO2. And CO2 is in many ways the subject they use to confuse people. It's about methane, mainly about methane. It's about nitrous oxide, which nobody fucking talks about, which means you should dig deep into that one. 1 ton of nitrous oxide is essentially worth 2,000 tons of CO2. So you don't need that many billions of tons of nitrous oxide to get into the atmosphere before it starts getting really, really fucking hot. What if the Falklands was always about a safe zone for some of the British elite, and that would be a location where they would go in the case of hothouse Earth? There is no safe zone. I've said this before. There's no safe zone for Venus syndrome. If it's Venus syndrome, we're probably all fucked. And life itself might be fucked, and might be fucked forever. If we become locked in that equilibrium state, which means it stays that way, then yes, for as long as that equilibrium state exists of Venus syndrome, there will never be life on Earth again. On the other hand, a giant comet could hit the Earth, and it could flip things the other direction. There are lots of weird things that can happen. We don't really know. And if you're a Christian, you can discount much of this, because this does not fit eschatology. Some of it kind of does in terms of prophecy, and some of it definitely does in terms of the bloody stage. So if you think the Antichrist is near, the bloody stage looks just about built, folks. I mean, a little bit of a regional nuclear war, that would really kick it off, but the bloody stage looks about ready for the magic man, the man with all the answers, the person that the ages have been waiting for, The son of the greatest grifter, the overlord of deception and lies, the beast that comes from the east, his girlfriend has yeast in her snatch. That magical suited man coming from robot Japan, he'll look as good as the Lord and you won't be bored. He'll fix the wars. He'll fix disease. He'll bring back the breeze. He'll refill the seas and the land. And he'll make green the sand. The magic man. The Antichrist. And of course he's full of shit. If he shows up, he's full of shit. The good news, and this is part of the good news, is that prophecy is not about predicting the future. God damn, how many idiots showed up 10 years ago linking Trump to prophecy? You know, Trump might be a tool of the Lord, but even Trump doesn't really understand how. And his followers definitely don't understand how. He could be. I don't think he is, but he could be a tool of the Lord. I think he could just be a tool. In the context of what's going on today, the weird conflicts, the weird types of issues that are bouncing about, one possibility is that the Antichrist is about to be revealed. Brothers and sisters, I still believe in God. It's hard right now because all of the questions I had, all the questions I had when I was a kid are still there. I still have the same questions. I still ask the same questions. I still find myself up in the middle of the night haunted by those questions. They're still there. I think the next couple of years, it's not going to be recognizable, the world we're moving towards, and it's not going to be linear. It's not going to be a long emergency. When James Coward Kunstler wrote his long emergency essay back in 2003 that got published to Rolling Stones, I don't know what context of history he was thinking in. When I started talking about the Great Discontinuity, I gave you two basic types of events, 1,000-year events and 10,000-year events, in terms of how bad. And a 10,000-year event being an event so bad that in 20,000 years, people will have debates about the people that existed when we existed, and they'll have their own YouTube channels about it. But what they'll have as far as evidence will be about a paragraph. That's a 10,000-year event. It's an event so bad, it essentially wipes out all the civilizations, it produces a dark age, and sets the human race back significantly. That is a 10,000-year event. If you're off by a decade in predicting a 10,000-year event, guess what? You were not too soon. And if there's a way to deal with that event, which means to give people good advice on how you can survive, you could not have been too early. That's not a long emergency. That's a pause. In the context of 10,000 years, that's like a fucking cocaine fart, James Coward Kunstler. Nature is not linear. Nature is not kind. Nature is brutal, non-linear cascading, and it will punch you in the nuts when you're not looking. And this applies to a 1,000-year event, too. If you're off by 10 years, guess what? You were not too soon. I started telling people to leave the cities 10 fucking years ago. Okay? If you decide to put up a for sale sign sometime this summer in Vegas, you're going to notice something. A lot of people are selling. And if the economy does turn south, you know, quickly, if interest rates do pop, if we find ourselves in the midst of not just a repo crisis, but a private credit crisis, and the Fed can still do commie bullshit, then maybe BlackRock will buy your home. Maybe. But at that point in time, we're talking about blackouts in Vegas. We're talking about issues of water safety in Vegas. And we're talking about the reservoirs virtually drained out and diesel prices skyrocketing. Good luck, Vegas. If you put up a for sale sign in August in Vegas, you're going to get fucked. I mean, best case scenario, they're going to give you 10 cents on the dollar. and those dollars will not be worth what they used to be. Your Weimar wheelbarrow is your home. If you don't understand that yet, that's your problem, not mine. You could not have been too early 10 years ago. If you come back, well, Dan, I would have missed out. You would have missed out on grifting. You would have missed out on the machine that produced more homeless people, that immiserated your neighbor. You would have missed out on participating with evil. What the fuck are you telling me you would have missed out on? If you'd taken my advice 10 years ago, and in some cases you should have stayed where the fuck you were, if you'd taken my advice, you would have had community building. You would have gotten to know more people around you. You might have learned how to do some sustainable things in your own area. There's a lot of things you would have had. Maybe you would have lost a special job. Maybe you would have lost out on that house flipping. Good luck. When the food runs out, when the electricity runs out, prayer helps. But the Lord has a pattern of treating people who refuse to listen, who refuse to hear. The Lord has a pattern of allowing us to fuck around and find out. If you currently live in a city, and I don't care what part of the world, you know, maybe parts of the tip, maybe the tip of South Africa, maybe the tip of South America, maybe there are places where you could just not do this. Southern Chile, Southern Argentina. There are a few places where you could just ignore this. But other than that, if you live in a city right now, you need to get the fuck out. You need to leave. You need to find yourself a place where you can potentially ride this out. If it's Venus syndrome, there is no safe zone. If it's hothouse Earth, the United States, a big portion of it will still be kind of functional. Probably not the Norman Borlaug Midwest. That's probably going to become a desert. And if you live in Vegas, that won't be functional. Guess what? Prior to the 1930s, it wasn't very functional either. Are you learning yet? The exception of history is not what I'm describing. The exception of history is what we got used to post-World War II. That was the fantasy. What I'm describing is a return to reality. But you can just wait. Wait for your ribeye steaks, is what I say. 20 ribeyes for $40. 20 ribeye steaks for $40. Screeched the meatmonger from the back of his truck. German shippers, hip-hop slippers, place your kippers in the basket. Flippers will lose their shoes and nothing remains. Insane Arab priests, magicians, and sprites fall by the side. In the night, no one saw them. They couldn't say goodbye on their way to the weekly fry. Don't look at the tattoo on the steak. It's 40 ribeyes for $20. Ignore the fucking tattoo. Naval goo stew, the home brew. For the troops, for the scoops. And we can raise the flag. It's a gag as you gag, as Marines eat flea soup in the heat. Ignore the tattoos on the ribeye meat. Don't look for the tattoo. It's there, barely in sight. What a fright. It shall be when neighbor Tom stops by with hungry kids and wife crying and baby dying of hunger and thirst. They'll see your tattoo, the dolphin, and they're not going to care. They'll just bear it up. They'll just cartoon imagination. See you as a ham sandwich. See you as chicken fried steak. They might even have some batter left over from the big fish fry. And enough peanut oil. They'll just bear it and eat. 20 ribeye steaks for the makings and potato pie with peas and carrots and a salad in the rearview mirror. But at least you'll only see what's behind you, right? What's ahead of you, and this is important, don't look for the tattoo on the steak. for the tattoo, friends. If you've noticed, I shut down my YouTube channel because it was producing more trolling and more abuse from people you don't know because you're real, right? And I just can't have it in my life right now. In fact, a good friend of mine said, you need to leave some things behind. Now, of course, I say this in retrospect, all things can be edited because that's the nature of time right now. See the Large Hadron Collider incident of the year 2007 pre-Boblimp Doc. And I shut down my Rumble channel, okay? So the YouTube channel, I spun that up again in 2025 just to see if what they would allow me to do, and it seemed as if they'd allow me to have the same pattern, which means if I got up to 60 subscribers, then I'd get my first flag. It would be a waste of fucking time. I didn't need to learn that lesson again. I've learned it many, many ages ago. The Rumble channel I started basically when I left Utah. And, you know, at first I thought, well, shit, all the edgelords are telling me that's the free land at the paradise land now. Rumble. Yeah. Well, it might be free paradise land for other people, but not so much for me. And by the way, this is something about Popping Smoke I didn't really completely get, is that while they would make it seem as if many voices will be heard, any voice that said that the process of freeing the slaves was itself kind of a lie, those voices need not be heard. That you guys are being fucked with. That all the truth they're dumping on you is not about the slaves being free. It's not about a Bitcoin paradise. All of the shit they're dumping on you is to swamp your mind. It is to carpet bomb the third eye. It is to spoof that collective unconscious that normally, with intuition, allows us to see a disaster, something in the future that we might not see otherwise, excepting for that powerful unconscious, that intuition. Well, it worked. I've said this before, I'll say it again. What they have done since late 2019, and again, I say since late 2019, what they've achieved, and specifically the Central Intelligence Agency, if there were a history being written, probably in Antarctica, will be considered the greatest application of military psychological warfare in the history of the world. Bar none. There's not a better example. There are lots of little examples. I mean, certainly the fake army across from Calais in June of 44 is a great example. But this is brilliant. And they did it in a way that makes perfect sense. They were able to achieve it because they hijacked human psychology because they understood human psychology. And it's still working. Not with everybody, but with enough people. It is a lot like the whole Temple Grandin thing. You want the beef to make it through the slaughterhouse. You don't want them to get scared too soon. In fact, ideally, you don't want the cattle to ever get scared. Okay? You know, mom and dad are going to go talk to the lawyer. Why don't you guys go see a movie with Aunt Sassafras? Go get a pizza and candy. You can get a game or a toy. Mom and dad will be at the lawyer's all day. Doesn't matter what you say. Because it's over. But Aunt Sassafras will take you to the carnival, and you'll get yourself a magical toy, and it'll be fine, okay? Your mom and dad are gone all day at the lawyer's. That's how it feels to me. A lot of people, this stuff seems real to them, and that's why I am. I'm thinking maybe if we're lucky, I'm crazy. I'm schizophrenic. I'm paranoid. If we're all really lucky, people like me, and by the way, I'm not special. There are a lot of crazy people like me who suspect the same thing, that the truth is a little, well, not a little, is a lot deeper than what people are willing to accept. That the truth is not the Ukraine war, it's not Iran, it's not Putin, it's not Antifa, it's not the fucking reset or Obama. The truth is worse than all of it. And if we're lucky, the truth is the Antichrist is about to show up. And if we're unlucky, I've given you the scenarios, but the odds of this being my best case, which is total worldwide economic collapse, well, that's going to happen. That's happening, baby. That's happening right now. And it starts out a little slow before it picks up speed. But that's baked into the cake if it's the worst case, and I think it's the worst case, which means your options now are between a natural disaster on a horrendous scale that leads to either a completely different planet that we can kind of live on, or a completely different planet that we no way in hell will ever survive on, or the Antichrist showing up. And as a Christian still, as a man of faith still, I'll tell you, I think right now, you know, back in 2019, I would have said the odds of the end times being near was 50-50. And then by 2022, I was like 60-40 or 70-30. I think now I'm like 85 to 90% sure that the Antichrist is a few months away. I don't have any good advice. I don't have a way to help you here. If the Antichrist is a few months away, guess what, though? I guess I would say the advice about getting out of the city still applies. Fewer people, fewer problems. Every city is going to be like Sodom if the Antichrist is near. Every city will be pushed to moral limits. Every city will be filled with eyes and enemies. If you are listening to what I'm saying, waiting 6 months to put your house up for sale so you can move out to the country is 6 months way too fucking late. And 10 years ago would not have been too early. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.